in this message of certainty about our salvation. Paul says, continue to work out your salvation. I wonder what that means. When you hear those words, what comes to your mind? Work out your salvation. Does that, in a way, sound like salvation by works? In other words, we must work to earn our salvation. Does it sound to you like maybe we have to do something to earn or to merit our salvation? In our church, we teach that salvation is a free gift from God that simply requires our acceptance. Well, if that is true, then what does Paul mean when he tells us to work out our salvation? Well, this morning, let's begin with a clear, simple statement of truth. Salvation is God's business, not ours. Salvation is God's business. It is not our business. In other words, God is the one who has initiated salvation. He has put into plan a method, a practice of how we can be in good relationship with Him. The reality is that our sin keeps us apart from God. Our sin keeps us from living a life that is pleasing to God. And because God is so holy and God cannot be associated with our sin, then our sin and God's holiness creates this chasm, this gulf between us and God. That is the reality of our sin. And God could have kept it that way if God so desired. We know from Genesis, the very beginning of Scripture, it was human beings, it was humanity that chose to turn away from God. It is humanity that has created this gulf. And God could have kept it that way. But God desperately wants to be in relationship with us. So God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to the earth to die on a cross to save us from our sins. Salvation is what God has done for us. It is not something we could have done for ourselves. That is exactly why this morning we gather around this table, to remind ourselves that God has created and done for us what we could never do. He has saved us. So we're very clear this morning, we don't earn this relationship with God. It is given to us as a gift by Jesus' death and resurrection. That's what we mean when we talk about being saved. We have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have been forgiven of our sins. We have been baptized into the faith, even as we witnessed through Hadley's testimony this morning. And now we are forgiven. That is all true. But even though salvation is free, and even though it is God's work from beginning to end, we as human beings are not passive in the process of salvation. That is such an important statement to say. We are not passive in the process of salvation. One person has said it this way: we are not robots manipulated by a divine button pusher. In other words, we have some responsibility in the process of salvation. So what is our role? Well, let's ask a question and think of it this way. Has anyone ever tried to give you a gift that you didn't want? Or, flip it around, have you ever tried to give a gift to another person, but he or she would not accept it? You see, giving a gift requires responsibility from two different parties. Giving a gift is responsible to the giver, but also there is responsibility to the receiver. One must be willing to give, the other must be willing to accept and to receive. And our role, our responsibility, is to respond to God's gift of grace by accepting. That's our role. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in his letter to the Christians in Philippi. But here's the catch. Receiving salvation, accepting God's gift of salvation, is much more than simply just saying thank you to God and to receiving this free gift. It demands much more from us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and following, Paul is writing to a different group of Christians, but he's writing about this very same idea. And to the Christians in Ephesus, listen to what Paul says, starting at verse 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is God's work from beginning to end. His words there may remind us of that beloved hymn, Amazing Grace, where once we were lost, but now we are found. Once we were blind, but now we see, all because of the work of God. And Paul could have left it there, but he didn't. Listen to how he continues in verse 10. In verse 10, Paul continues this idea of salvation, and here's what he says. For we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ. Why? To do good works. Ah. There's the second part of the salvation. It is not that our works are saving us. It is our response to the free gift that God has given. Paul is saying in Philippians and Ephesians, this idea of salvation is a two-way street. It is a free gift from God that demands everything we have. Let's come back to that idea of giving gifts. If someone gives you a gift that you never use, then what good is it? I would ask for a show of hands this morning, but how many of you have clothes hanging in your closet that still have tags on them? Somebody gave them to you, and for whatever reason, you're not going to wear them. I was asking this morning, have you ever been offered a gift you didn't want to receive? And somebody told me later, yeah, it was a puppy. Right? That's a gift that keeps on giving. Kind of like Christmas vacation. It's the jelly of the month club. You get those gifts and they just kind of keep on giving. But you see, the idea there is for a gift to have meaning, we must do something with it other than just put it away for safekeeping. For a gift to have meaning, we have to use it. In Galatians, Paul writes about this same idea. A third group of Christians, the same topic again. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says, we are not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Again, he says, that's how we're saved. It's not by the law, it's by our faith in Jesus Christ. But a couple of chapters later, chapter 5, verse 6, he follows up on that idea by saying, quote, faith. What really matters is, quote, faith expressing itself through love. What does that mean? What it means is salvation is not given to us so that we can sit back and relax in our savedness, right? No. Salvation is given so that we might work it out. It's given so that we might put it to use. Salvation is a process that is still not fully accomplished. Listen to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. It's nearer. It's getting closer. It's coming. But Romans is very clear. It's not fully here yet. It is a process that is yet to be accomplished. When I think about this idea of working it out, working out, exercise comes to my mind. When we exercise, we are never really at a place where we reach the ultimate goal of fitness and then we can sit back and relax. Exercise is an ongoing process, right? Maybe you're like me when you begin a new fitness program or you begin exercising more earnestly or more seriously, you envision down the road, oh, later, here's what I'm going to look like, or here's how I'm going to exercise, or here's how fit I'm going to be. We have this image of optimal health in our mind, but the reality is we never get to the place where we're so fit, we're so strong, we don't have to keep exercising. I have a good friend who is a well-known organist, and he's wonderfully talented. He's played all over the world, and many years ago, I was at lunch with him, And I remember sitting at lunch and he said to me, you know, Kevin, often I have people ask me or they say to me, you know, you're so good at the organ, maybe you don't have to practice anymore, right? And he said, it's actually the exact opposite. I practice more now than I ever did in my life. Why? Because he's working out the talents and the gifts and the abilities that he has been given. That's true in every aspect of our life. We work out that which we have given. We put it to use. We make it practical. We apply it to our everyday lives. And this is certainly true to our relationship with God. Someone has said, and I believe it is true, salvation is already, but it is also not yet. We have been given a right relationship with God as a gift. But that gift demands everything we have. Our salvation is demonstrated in how we live. Now, you've probably heard this question before, but I think it's a question that needs to be asked time and time again on occasions. If Christianity were a crime and you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you as to how you live? Now listen to how that question is asked. The question is not, is there enough evidence that you're a good person? The question is not, is there enough evidence that you treat people well or that you are a person of humility? No, that's not the question. The question is, when people see you, can they point to demonstrative aspects of your life that say that person is a Christian? How does your life resemble and reflect the life of Jesus Christ? You see, that's what I think it means when Paul says, work it out. Jesus himself said, you will recognize my followers by their fruit. What is that? It is their actions. It is their lifestyle. It is their behavior. It is the words that we use. It is how other people see us demonstrating the life of Christ within us. It doesn't mean you're earning your salvation. It doesn't mean you're working to deserve it in some way. What it means is that you're living it. You're practicing it. You're putting it into the relationships and the situations of your everyday life. It means that when other people look at you, they see the fruit, the evidence that you are no longer living for yourself, but you are living for Jesus Christ. You see, this morning, this text and this table, they demand something great from us. This is not a partial ask. This is not give me 25%. This text and this table ask something great. They demand that we not only accept God's free gift of salvation, but they demand that we live it. They demand that in all of our relationships, in all of our activities, in all of our thoughts, in all of our deeds, we continue to work out this free gift that God has given to us. Let me ask you this morning before we enter a time of communion, what in your life needs to change? What do you need to add to your life? What do you need to take away or stop doing in your life? What do you need to do more of in your life? What do you need to do less of in your life so that your life truly reflects the light and the love of Jesus Christ? One person has said, the conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment, but the making of a true Christian, that is the task of a lifetime. So this morning, continue to work out your salvation. Continue to work it out with fear and trembling. For as Paul says, it is God who works in you. And love so amazing, so divine, it demands our soul, our life, our all. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we hear your word, and now we gather around your table. In these quiet moments, continue to speak to us. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Comfort us where we need to be comforted. But Lord, as we commune with you, help us to listen, help us to hear, and help us to apply your word to our daily lives. Bless us now as we gather around your table, for it is in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen.